Very good afternoon to all, huh? Brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is the 7th of July, 2019, and it's a very auspicious day because Kaimitai has requested for the re-taking of the Bodhisattva vow. So today we also plan a special puja for us to prepare ourselves before we commence with our taking of the vow. There are a few things that you may need to prepare yourself so that this taking of the vow or the renewal of the vow is of great significance and it can help you progress along the path of Dhamma. First of all, you need to have this very strong faith, saddha, virya. Then, mindfully, you invoke the power of merits. Invoke the understanding. Then, you silence your mind completely from your nature. Means, with great sincerity, faith, and understanding, you determine to take this vow. Then develop the very strong resolve to make sure you fulfill all this vow so that it can make a big difference to your cultivation. So as usual, before we start, we will just do the pre-puja. We will do the recitation before we commence the puja offering. Let us prepare our mind, develop our faith, our sincerity, saddha, virya. Then mindfully we shall commence our preliminary puja chanting. Namo Bunsi Sijia Moni Pho. Namo Bunsi Sijia Moni Pho. Namo Bunsi Sijia Moni Pho. Namo Guanxin Pusa. Namo Guanxin Pusa. Namo Guanxin Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Saukasango Sanghang Namami. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Dityampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dityampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Dityampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Panatipata Veeramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Adina dana veeramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micchacara veeramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada veeramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Suramiraya majapamadatana veeramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Pajama. Buddhang Pajayami. Dhammang pujayami. Sanghang pujayami. Okay, let us now get ready for our puja offering. The incense haven't lighted. So I think Pamasuri and Miss Lee, you get the incense lighted. The rest of us can stand. Where is the incense? No, here, the main author. Miss Lee. The main author. Those who have offering, you can bring them in front. Yeah. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Yeah, it's for the other offering. Yeah. Start with the tree. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Quite heavy, then leave it. Do. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Okay, we will make the final offering of all the other items that are not offered. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Okay, you all can be seated. Yeah. Okay, you all can be seated. Yeah. So we have already made our puja offering to the triple gem. And this is very wholesome. So this offering, the bulk of it is from our Kayanamita Pan, so that all Kayanamita gets to partake in this particular special puja offering. Then there are some Kayanamita who brought their own offering, which is also very wholesome. Then for you all who attended, you rejoice. Then you develop your faith. Faith is very important. Sada, Virya, then if you have trained your mind, you already have the mindfulness, the heedfulness, it will be even more beneficial for you when you develop all this very noble type of or wholesome type of special offering of puja together with the mind that has the faith, the understanding and the resolute to take this vow through an understanding, which is very important, where you know this is a very, very important understanding. If you can have this understanding life after life, whenever you come, it will make a big difference to your cultivation. So okay, now let us prepare ourselves. You turn to page 128, then we will continue from where we are supposed to continue. Page 128, number 1. Number 1. So this is the option that we will take. As is traditional, you may seek out a Buddhist center, which is Wu Ping Jing Se. which is a way place or temple or a shrine, and take the Bodhisattva vow in the presence of a teacher. Now we are doing it together. You can recite after me. Before we start, we will make prostration to all the Buddhas, Bodhisattva. Then we will chant Namo Bunsi Sijia Moni Pho three times, followed by Namo Kwan Sim Pusa, then Namo Pho Pusa. Okay, compose your mind, develop the faith, sadha, virya, and then we shall pay our respect mindfully, and we will recite the following. Namo Bunsi Sijia Moni Pho. Namo Bunsi Sijia Moni Pho. Namo Bunsi Sijia Moni Pho. Namo Kwan Sim Pusa. Namo Kwan Sim Pusa. Namo Kwan Sim Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Okay. After this, we shall develop the strong aspiration to take this Bodhisattva vow. So with determined faith and understanding sincerely in front of all the Buddhas and the great Maha Bodhisattva who have gone forth before us, and we will commence our taking of the special aspiration to walk the Bodhisattva way. For those who don't have the yellow card, you can follow the text. The text is the same. If you have the yellow card, you follow the yellow card, page 1. So the taking of the Bodhisattva starts with making of special aspiration to walk the Bodhisattva way. Okay, now we will chant together this special aspiration to walk the Bodhisattva way. By the power of whatever, together, together. By the power of whatever blessings and wholesomeness that this nature of mine had cultivated from the distant past until now, may it arise the causes and conditions for this nature of mine to have the following right Dhamma understanding life after life, whenever it choose to come or have to come in the form of a form and mind. Right view with regards to the law of karma, karma niyama. Right view with regards to the law of dependent origination or the dwelling, citta niyama. And right view with regards to the Four Noble Truths, Dhamma Niyama. Then the second aspiration is to understand the two aspects of the five aggregates of form and mind clearly. We are the direct seeing to realize that they are all conditioned arising entity, causal phenomena, hence impermanent, leading to suffering, not me, non-self and empty. That this so-called living being, five aggregates of form and mind, is just a karmically conditioned vehicle and tool for me to come to this existential world, to develop the cultivation and experience all of the beauty and wonders of life. So use it with wisdom to arise the right thought, right speech and right action to be a blessing to all and not to be deluded by it. To constantly recite with understanding the following Dhamma profoundly. Rupang anicchang, rupang anatta, vedana anicchang, vedana anatta, sanya anicchang, sanya anatta, sankhara anicchang, sankhara anatta, vedana anicchang, Vedana anatha Sabbe sankhara anicchang Sabbe sankhara dukkhang Sabbe dhamma anatta. Okay, the third aspiration is, having developed the above right view, this nature of my vow to always keep the following three sets of pure precepts, following the advice of all Sammasambuddha. First, pure precept, to avoid all evil and to understand clearly what constitutes evil, the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. The second pure precept, to cultivate all virtue and blessing leading to the perfection of them all. The third set of pure precept, to cultivate wisdom to help liberate and take across all sentient beings. Okay, with that preliminary aspiration, now we move on to the second item, which is the actual taking of the four basic vows. So this one, you develop the faith, sadha, virya, and the understanding. Then, mindfully chant together. Just as all previous Sugatas, the Buddha generated the Bodhi mind of enlightenment and accomplished all the stages of the Bodhisattva training, so too were this nature of mind, for the sake of all living beings, generate the Bodhi mind of enlightenment and accomplish all the stages of the Bodhisattva training, so that the seed of Bodhi can be strongly planted within my nature. This nature of mind further vow with utmost sincerity, faith, and perseverance to walk to perfection this Bodhisattva way. We are taking the following initial four basic vows of the Bodhisattva. First basic vow. This nature of my vow to liberate the countless living beings from samsara and take them all across to the other shore. Second Bodhisattva vow. This nature of my vows to endure and severe all vexation and suffering. Third Bodhisattva vow. This nature of my vows to cultivate and penetrate all Dhamma, to realize the perfection of all wisdom. The final, last Bodhisattva vow. This nature of my vow to perfect the 10 perfection of paramitas, to realize the unsurpassed Sammasambuddhahood. Then turn to the next page. These are additional vows to break all karmic obstruction, to bring about the way, which is also very important. Okay, we recite together. If by action, speech, or thought, whether knowingly or unknowingly, we are ignorance, delusion, and heedlessness, that this nature of mind had offended or done anything wrong out to the Triple Gem, the Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha, this nature of mind would like to sincerely ask for forgiveness. Whomsoever from the distant past until now, whether knowingly or unknowingly, that this nature of mind had caused any karmic negativity, misery, suffering, or misled, this nature of mind would like to sincerely ask for forgiveness from them all. May my sincere request for forgiveness be accepted by all, so that all this karmic obstruction can be amicably dissolved or watered down or lessened, thereby enabling this nature of mind to continue with its cultivation to realize the true Dhamma with ease. This nature of mind also vowed to repent, and from now onward, vow never to repeat any of this karmic negativity born of greed, hatred, and delusion. By following the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, do good, and purify our mind, we are striving on with heedfulness to keep the five precepts and to cultivate the Buddha Dhamma diligently, so that it will never violate this law of karma again whenever it arises. By the power of whatever wholesomeness or merits that this nature of mine had cultivated since the distant past until now, may arise the causes and conditions for this nature of mine to have the ability to overcome all other coming obstructions or obstacles amicably, so that this nature of mine will be able to gain back its life, life after life, to walk the path of Dhamma, to fulfill and realize all its bodhisattva vow. Then additional miscellaneous vow to enhance the cultivation. This nature of my vows to be successful in fulfilling all my above vows soonest possible, to cultivate strong affinity with all Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, and to request their nature's blessing, protection, and guidance always. To strengthen my five spiritual faculties of Sadha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya, until they become balas or power life after life, so that all the above vows can be successfully fulfilled with ease. To cultivate extensively all virtue, blessing, and merits, to help support my cultivation, so that they will shine forth to aid this nature of mine when needed in time of trials, difficulty, and tribulation while walking the Bodhisattva way. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we will pay respect to Triple Jaya. Bhutang Puja. Dhammang pujayami, Sanghang pujayami. Okay, you can be seated, eh? Then just relax body and mind, then we can continue. Since you have so much offering, afterwards do you want to have a short break, to maybe take some of these things, because by the time we finish, it's already almost dinner time. Maybe you can have your tea break after this. Okay, now what's the time? Still early, I think. Oh yeah, still early, 3:30. Yeah. Okay, I'll try to just finish off a little bit more. Okay, you turn the page 132. 132. After we finish 4.3, additional miscellaneous vow to enhance the cultivation, all those we have done. Then we have done the closing puja too. Then we have rejoiced. After that, I will read to you. You can be seated. But now it's about. Oh, that time was morning, that's like 9:40. Now it's about 3:30, Oh, 3:28, So we still have quite a bit of time, So just to elaborate a little bit more on the additional and miscellaneous vow needed to enhance your cultivation, I will read through to you, as a maybe to refresh yourself. Take for example the first vow. On this nature of my vows to be successful in fulfilling all my above vows soon as possible. You vow that way, it will bring about causes and conditions for you to fulfill them. Then after that, the second miscellaneous vow is also very important. Like I had always advised you all, You have to cultivate strong affinity with all Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. That's why this is something that will benefit you tremendously if you know how to do it. That's why wherever you go, spiritual trip or anywhere, anyway place, you can feel something, pay your respect, rejoice and thank whatever great beings. Thank them for their blessing, protection and guidance. Then seek their affinity to continue to bless you, protect you and guide you. So these are very important aspects of cultivating affinity with great beings. Because these great beings, their perfection, their vow, sometimes you cannot understand. It is so immense, so extensive. And they can really, really make a big difference to your cultivation. It's not them, it's their nature. Yeah, their nature has all this extensive cultivation, perfection, understanding. So when you cultivate affinity with them, you make this request. It can bring forth the causes and conditions for them to really bless you, protect you, and guide you. Protection is for your five aggregate or form and mind whenever it arises. So blessing, you know, is to bless you with wholesomeness, with virtue and understanding. So blessing, protection, and guidance. Then guidance is to guide you along. And these are very important cultivation support. That's why when you can be a blessing to all, this is what you do for the world. Then when your nature becomes very extensive, it can help protect others from a mind too. Like Kuan Yin Bodhisattva and some of the great beings. Tizang Wang Pusa and all those things. Then of course guidance is easy when you have the cultivation. You can guide people. You can help people. You know what are blessings, isn't it? When you come, they will bless you because of your affinity with them and your request. It is just like the monks. After you make offering or perform whatever wholesomeness towards them, they will chant for your protection, your blessing, etc. Sometimes they will deliver a Dhamma talk. That's why their blessing, protection and guidance are very useful. Guidance is via the Dhamma talk or the Dhamma sharing, or their nature will guide you on how to walk the way, how to fulfill your vows, and how to bring about understanding of all these things. So this one is very important because this nature of mind came to realize that these are very important and very powerful. If you don't have all this, the Buddha and Bodhisattva's affinity, etc., is very difficult to walk this path or this Bodhisattva way, because this form and mind can be destroyed easily. And without their protection and blessing, it's difficult to sustain it to walk the path successfully. Then, of course, their guidance too, so that you won't deviate, so that you won't make mistakes, so that you will not waste time. So all these are very important, because my nature knew all the way, even this life, is because of my affinity with quite a lot of these great beings, especially Kuan Yin Bodhisattva. That's why this life, this form and mind survived 3 times. Otherwise, this form and mind long would have gone. Because of Kuan Yin's protection. The nature is able to protect this form and mind. And this affinity come about because of past condition, causes, and the faith in Kuan Yin. And her teaching. Her teaching is also very beautiful. The Heart Sutta especially. They are very, very beautiful. It's a Prajna Paramita, one of the crown jewel of wisdom, perfection of wisdom teaching. Okay, then I will read on. Then the third additional vow, of course, we all know, is to strengthen our five spiritual faculty of Sadda, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya until they become balas or powers. That's why this one, I have also incorporated it into your daily puja chanting. All our classes, we have included this. We invoke power of merits for the five spiritual faculty to become very, very stable until they become balas of power. The moment you have them as power, technically your meditation is automatic. You will be mindful the moment you sit and aware throughout the day in the midst of life while doing your worldly duties or fulfilling your worldly cures. For life itself is the meditation. That's why when the spiritual faculty become balas or power, you have this very unique ability. That time meditation is automatic. Throughout the day, you are in that state. Whereas your five spiritual faculty is unshakable, very stable. When the five spiritual faculty are unshakable, the mental hindrance cannot arise. That's why there is nothing to hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner awareness anymore. And this is something that only cultivator who has done it can understand. Then you can have the ability to be mindful and heedful throughout the day. That's why the Buddha said, ever mindful, constantly meditating. This can only happen when your five spiritual faculty has stabilized until it becomes balas or power. That's why after that your daily mindfulness is like automatic. That's the reason why the spiritual faculties are very important and powerful. The moment these spiritual faculties have been perfected until they become balas or power, unshakable, the mental hindrance will cease to be. That's why it is very easy to cultivate after that. Then when you vow to have the spiritual faculties strengthened until they become balas, life after life, then all the above vow can be successfully fulfilled with ease. With this spiritual faculty, all this vow become no more a problem. And very easily, you can fulfill them. Then the fourth one, the fourth miscellaneous vow, is also very important. To cultivate extensively all virtues and blessings and merits to help support our cultivation, so that they will shine forth to aid our nature when needed in time of trials, difficulty and tribulation while walking the Bodhisattva way. Do you understand why? Why must we cultivate all virtue, blessings and merits extensively? Because you need to develop the perfection of all virtues. You have to go all out. Then these merits, when you know how to use them through the perfection of adhittana, or what they call determination or affirmation, it can bring forth the causes and conditions for a lot of things to happen and to be fulfilled. When you have problem or difficulties like sickness or whatever, or sometimes you may have to overcome certain coming obstructions that are severe, you can invoke the power of merits or to overcome them. That's why we always ask for forgiveness and then seek repentance. Then after that, vow not to repeat all this because we know it's wrong. So that it will express our sincerity. Then the third additional vow is we vow to follow the advice of all the Buddha, to avoid all evil, cultivate wholesomeness, and develop wisdom. Then through this cultivation, we are following the advice of the Buddha, we develop merits. That's how we can cultivate extensively all virtue, blessings, and merits, so that we can invoke the power of this merit, like the vow earlier, by the power of whatever wholesome merit, wholesomeness, or wholesome merits, blessing, and wisdom that this nature of ours have cultivated since the distant past until now, may arise the causes and condition for whatever you want to do, or whatever that is allowable by the law of nature to arise or take effect. So sometimes when you met up with certain type of very severe coming obstruction or negativity or whatever, then when you invoke the power of merits sincerely for causes and conditions, if there is any slightest cause and condition from the distant past it will connect to, then it will actually bring forth the condition for it to be resolved or dissolved. Then sometimes it's like a miracle has taken place. People call it miracle, but it's nothing really miracle, because it's just power of merit, power of faith, power of truth, power of determination. The Buddha knows how to use all this because of his perfection of Adhitthana. Like in the Jayamangala Sutta, the Sutta on Blessing, the Buddha always invoked the power of truth, and he also chant, by the power of this truth, may joyous victory be ours. So all these are the various skillful means that one can make use of. The 10 perfection leading to Buddhahood are so as stated in the notes too, and you need to understand them first. The first perfection is generosity or dana parami, then followed by sila. This dana and sila parami we have already covered and done a lot during our earlier sharing of the cultivation stages. The three types of giving or dana parami are the giving of materialistic wealth, then the gift of life, and the gift of fearlessness. Then of course the last one is the gift of truth. Then when you have the heedfulness and mindfulness to avoid all evil, by nature you will be good, and your sila or morality will be automatically taken care of. Your sila parami will be perfected. So sila is very useful. When you can avoid all evil, you have sila. This is what you do, because life after life, you will renew your precept, and you will keep to this precept, so that you are incapable of negativity, so that you cannot violate all this. Then you can start to perfect them. Then after that, the third perfection is renunciation or nikkhama. As you cultivate the perfection of noma, you can renounce many things. Materialistic wealth, your own body, your own possession, your reputation, or whatever. You will not cling, you will not hold. Then this renunciation parami is very powerful. When you can renounce the world, it means you have wisdom, you have panya. You can see their unreality and their impermanent universal characteristic leading to suffering. That's how you can renounce them all. It's like they don't really belong to you, because you know they don't exist. He know you, he know me. How can there be a self? How can there be a living being? How can the aggregates of form and mind, rupa, vedana, sanya, sangra, vinyana, be what you are? As you reflect, contemplate, and cultivate, you will understand all this. The power of renunciation can be cultivated to manifest in three levels. The first level is Kaya Viveka, which is physical renunciation of all physical things and possession. Then we have Chitta Viveka, which is mental seclusion or renunciation. The mind goes into peaceful abiding and secludes itself. Then, of course, lastly, we have Upadhi Viveka, which is renunciation with wisdom with regards to all your other attachments. Also, the perfection of wisdom is our third basic vow. Where you vow, this nature of mind vows to cultivate and penetrate all Dhamma to realize the perfection of all wisdom. So when you vow that way, life after life when you come, you will cultivate and penetrate all Dhamma, and you will perfect them all. Then we will reach the understanding as taught in the Diamond Sutta, the teaching of Noma. All this cultivation can be very easy to perfect when you understand. Then the next perfection is Virya, spiritual zeal, or tenacity to go this way, which can arise because of your Saddha or your faith in the Buddha and his teaching. Develop via clear understanding of who is the Buddha and how special and unique his teaching is. This Virya or resolve will drive you to take the Bodhisattva vows with understanding. And this will make you very determined to go this way because you see the importance of such cultivation and your faith is very strong. Which is very strong, will cause your Virya to arise. Then the next perfection is Kanti, which is patience. Patience born of wisdom that enables one to endure all suffering and vexation. It's not suppression or control. You will have a lot of patience. That's why equanimity is the final outcome of the cultivation of patience. You develop equanimity, and it comes about because of your wisdom. That's why it has patience towards all things. You can accord and flow, it's not deluded by anything else. The phenomenal world of consciousness and all other things within the conditioned world. The next perfection is truthfulness or satya. You will develop it too because you will come to understand that it's not worthwhile to lie. No more meaning to lie. Then after you have perfected this perfection, you can use it to invoke the power of truth. The Buddha actually invoked the power of truth in many of his suttas. We used to chant this. Itena satya vajaye asare. Itena satya Vajena, etc. And I have it here on page 13 of our Puja book. Itena satya vajena ho tu te jaya mangala. Its meaning is, by the firm determination of this truth, may peaceful victory be yours. Long time didn't chant already. Because we seldom chant this Karaniya Metta Sutta. Unless we are at the retreat when the non-human requested for it to be chanted. Then we will get our sister Engby to help us chant it because she is very good in Pali chanting. Next paragraph. This power of truth recitation are stated in the last paragraph of page 13. And the first part is Itena Satchavajena Soti Te Hotu Sabada. Meaning, by the power of affirmation of this truth, may you ever be well. Then the next one is Itena Satchavajena Saparogo Vina Satu. The meaning is, by the affirmation, by the firm affirmation of this truth, May all disease or illness be destroyed. You always hear this. By the firm affirmation of this truth, may all illness be destroyed or disease be destroyed. Then the last one is, by the firm affirmation of this truth, may peaceful victory be yours. See, the victory must come peacefully. So these are all very useful and very powerful understanding. Then as you cultivate the second basic vow, this nature of mind vow to endure and severe all suffering and vexation. This one is the cultivation of renunciation and also patient enduring. Because you can endure and severe all suffering and vexation with understanding. So this one is very powerful. Then love and compassion is via the first basic vow. Then the next one is the number 8 perfection, which is determination or resolution, meaning adhittana in Pali. This perfection or adhittana, aspiration or determination or resolve. If you can perfect this perfection, it can help you a lot in your cultivation. Because this nature of mind have more or less perfected this one. And that's the reason why it knows how to use it. We are invoking the power of merits and truth, etc. to arise the causes and conditions following nature's law to help realize our pure wishes, our other pure wishes. And all this, I never learned them this life, and nobody taught me, yet my nature know how to use it. Then the 9th perfection is loving kindness, metta. For you to cultivate the first basic vow to liberate all beings, you must have love and compassion, because you vow to take across all living beings. Then of course, the last perfection is equanimity, which is born of the perfection of wisdom. Then you will have this ability to have the equanimous mind. These 10 perfections, they are all related and linked to your cultivation. Okay, we have completed the taking of the vows and the explanation. So do you all have any question? Anybody has any question? Oh, that time, I think Sister Yun Chan asked. Anybody has any question? Yes, pass the microphone to Sister Yun Chan for the recording, otherwise they cannot hear you. Okay, thanks, Sister Yun Chan. So Yun Chan asked this, Brother Teo, you saluted Namo for Pusa. Who is Namo for Pusa? We are she English educator, you don't blame her. She thought Namo for Pusa is another Bodhisattva. Actually, what we meant is we pay respect to all the other 4 Pusa. It's not a specific Bodhisattva with the name 4 Pusa. 4 Pusa is 2 words together telling you we recite salutation to all Bodhisattva and Buddhas. Then my reply. I say, oh no, Namo for Pusa means homage to all the Buddhas and Bodhisattva for Pusa. So for Pusa is not another Pusa. When you are not Mandarin educated, you may have this problem. But it's okay, it's indeed a good question. Because other Kayamita may also not understand. So luckily, you ask. In the Buddhist teaching or the Buddhist language, especially Mandarin, 4 is Buddha and Pusa is Bodhisattva. So when they chant 4 Pusa, it means they are referring to all Buddhas and Bodhisattva. When we say Namo, it means homage to thee, all Buddhas and Bodhisattva. Because we want to create as wide an affinity as possible. Then do you know how to cultivate affinity all the great beings, all Buddhas and Bodhisattva? Can you all tell me how? Yes. One way is to chant their 4 hao or Buddha's name. Then develop your vows to match with theirs. In Mandarin, it's pronounced as xiang yin, meaning your vow match with their vows. That's how you can have affinity. Then the other way is to learn how to recognize virtuous people. Otherwise, you may have a situation because some bodhisattva like Manjushri, they like to come in the beggar form. So if you spite them and look down upon them, then that can be big trouble for you. Which means when four pusa is in front of you, also you don't know. Oh, then I think somebody asked another question. I say, yes, pass the microphone to Huiling's brother. Then he asked, Brother Teo, sorry, what is the difference between Bodhisattva and four? Okay, I think we stop here. So that we keep the rest for next Sunday. The next Sunday I should finish this whole book. So at least we can complete this whole book on the cultivation of the Bodhisattva way. So it has taken us how long? I checked the date. Oh, less than a year. Very good. Maybe lesson 18 we finish. This lesson is lesson 17. We started last year 7th of October 2018. 9 months. Almost 9 months. So next session will be 9 months plus, which is just nice. So with this, we will maybe take a break. So you can have, our meditation is about 4:30. You can have about half an hour's break. We can have a short tea break. The offering, I think Miss Lee, they all together with Pamasri use our Kalimita fund. We got a lot of food, mainly kuih. I saw a lot of nice kuih. Then there are some fruits. There are also some grapes and all those things. Or cherry. Is it cherry? I don't know. Maybe cherry, not grapes. So we can have our tea break. Then we come back before 4:30. 1 or 2 minutes before 4:30. Okay? Let us rejoice. Sadhu. 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 Okay. You can have your tea break. Yeah. By who?
Mimi.
Oh, Mimi is Sato. Let us rejoice. It seems according to Miss Lee, the flowers were all arranged by Mimi. Mimi Chang. Sado, Sado, Sado. And we should thank all those who helped organize this special puja. And also this renewal of the taking of the vows. Especially Pamasuri, Miss Lee, and all those who help out. So we rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, you can have a break. Then after that, we meet back here at 1 or 2 minutes before 4:30. Okay, so now it's 4:35, so we are back from the break. Now we will continue with our second session, which is meditation. You can have half an hour of silent awareness meditation. I will set the alarm, then it will trigger off half an hour's time. Then after that, I will ring the bell as usual. You can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Okay. For those who already know how to meditate, you just continue. For those who still need to train their mind, you can also do it. If your spiritual faculty is already established, technically, you no need to train your mind. You don't need to really hold on to any method or technique of meditation. You can straight away relax, maintain awareness, and the sati will come in. The spiritual faculty of sati, they will just come in, and your mind will just be aware. So initially, even there is some form of thought process or thinking, you just let it be. Then slowly it will slow down, and you will fall back to your original state of silence. Your true mind is the silent mind without thought. That is your silent mind. That is your nature. That is also your true mind. That is also your meditative mind. So that mind can understand many things. What you need to do is to have this understanding so that you do not create any thought activity. Whatever happens, just let it be. Be with the moment, accept the reality, just maintain aware. The four support for meditation is useful. First, relax body and mind into every mind state that arises. Then maintain awareness. Just silent aware. Whatever that arises within your own form and mind, just aware. Yeah. Thought arise, aware. Contact arise, aware. Whatever arise, aware. Then you will slowly slow down, settle down, cease. Yeah. Then when you are able to experience the silence, the tranquility, the stillness, continue to let the mind settle down until this silence awareness is very, very stable, very clear. The tranquility of mind and the stillness of mind is very important. That is the meditative mind that you're supposed to establish in the formal meditation. So that when you are out of it, this stability of mindfulness or awareness within can continue into the daily life. Means your mind need to experience paucity. Paucity is tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, until it becomes very stable. When it becomes very stable, this paucity will enable your mind to enter sati. And when your mind enters sati, it is very, very sensitive. Where everything the mind comes to experience is always in sati. All your kaya activity and movement is like magnified, and you can see them clearly away. And as you come out of it, your activity of your kaya together with your awareness, they move as one. Then later on you come to understand how come now your mind is so different. Every moment of seeing, hearing, smell, taste, tactile or thought process, there is this awareness within. Like you are with that phenomena. We call it specific awareness phenomena, yeah, or specific phenomena. So all this, you will get to see them, experience them. And the mind that have this ability can understand things very fast, can meditate very fast, can see things clearly. Okay, I will let you meditate on your own, then I will ring the bell when the alarm goes off. Okay. Okay. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have enough, slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Then always remember, try to maintain the inner awareness, inner mindfulness, and inner peace or inner calmness for as long as you can. These are the mind states that you need to develop the daily mindfulness. Sati sampajana is very important. Initially, you train your mind to be in sati, then stabilize it to be ever mindful. Then later on, when the mind is most of the time aware in life, the daily mindfulness has stabilized, then you use it to add in that part on sampajana. Means you're not only mindful, you can develop the clear comprehension of everything that you do while in that state of daily mindfulness. So sati sampajana can arise after that. As we have gone through under the Abhijja Sutta, the Sutta on Ignorance, the Buddha mentioned 10 steps you have to take for you to realize the enlightenment. First step, of course, as Kainamita we all know very well, is to have Dhamma friends, which you all have them. Then as you move on to the second step, you will learn a lot more things. With Dhamma friend, it allows you to have opportunity or condition to listen to the true Dhamma. And you can know where Dhamma friend do their practice, do their cultivation, develop their understanding of the Dhamma. So this listening to the Dhamma is a very important second step. Through listening to the Dhamma, we can straighten our views, we can develop the first and second turning wisdom. Then we can also put the Dhamma that we have learned into investigation. Then if we stand up to the truth, we develop the faith. Our faith in the Buddha and the teaching become a lot more stable. So step 3 is to have faith in the Buddha and his teaching. Then step 4 is a natural consequence. When you have developed the first and second turning wisdom, born of listening to the Dhamma, reflection, contemplation, and inquiry into the essential Dhamma, then that two type of wisdom will give rise to Yoniso Manasikara, which is the initial wisdom. This initial wisdom is very important. It helps you to straighten your view so that at the moment of sense experience, when this Yoniso Manasikara or wisdom at the moment of sense experience, then they arise. It can help you. It can help prevent your mind from stirring and reacting like before. But this new understanding, born on the first and second turning wisdom, they will prompt you, immediately arise and tell you that in the past you have been reacting to it wrongly. Your mind stir and do all those funny things because you don't have the right view, you don't understand. So Yoniso Manasikara prevent your mind from becoming heedless, prevent your mind from stirring and reacting to sense experience. And because of that, your daily mindfulness can come about. So before this step, the initial wisdom arises, your mind finds it very difficult to have the daily mindfulness. Because split second, the mind is lost again, heedless again. So daily mindfulness can only come about under two circumstances. First is when the spiritual faculty are established. With the spiritual faculty established, the mental hindrance ceases to be. That is the first way. The second way is when you have developed the initial wisdom, Yoniso Manasikara. then you realize your mind become more and more clear, more and more stable. It doesn't react and stir like before. This ability of the mind to remain in that state of equanimity, of serenity, with less and less of this mental stirring, mental reaction, is the beginning of daily mindfulness. Means you have more and more moment of peace, more and more moment of clarity, space between thought. So when this situation arises, the Yoniso Manasikara can come out and prompt you and tell you, you don't have to react to sense experience like before. You can be at peace with most situations in life. That's how the daily mindfulness can come about. So these are the two ways. Then when your daily mindfulness arises, stabilize it. Then incorporate the four clear comprehension. Clear comprehension of sincerity of purpose, clear comprehension of domain of meditation. Then you will understand what meditation is, and you will have the understanding that meditation can be done anytime, any place, anywhere, any moment. It don't have to be a special place, special moment, because to be heedful, you can do it in the midst of life, in the midst of nature. So this understanding is very important. Then after that, you will have the clear comprehension of suitability. The most important place is here, this place. The most important time is now, this moment. Then the most important people or Dhamma are those that is around you. Then the last one is clear comprehension of non-delusion. When you have clear comprehension of non-delusion, you will not be caught by the 10 defilement of insight. They cannot deceive you. So these four clear comprehension will prevent you from going wrong, deviation. When you are having all this clear comprehension, your mind cannot go wrong. You will not deviate. Because these four clear comprehension will bring back your mind state to the correct path. Then when your daily mindfulness with clear comprehension is established, this is step 5. Then step 6 and 7 is automatic. When your daily mindfulness and clear comprehension is so clear, you will have sense restraint. You will not behave like before. Your senses at the moment of sense experience will not stir, react, and break your precept no more. That's how sense restraint come to be. When you are mindful, you can be aware. When you understand what constitutes evil, your mental intention behind that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, you can see them. Then the four right effort can be cultivated very easily. That's why as a consequence of sati sampajana, of course, starting with yoniso manasikara. So step 4, step 5 will give rise to step 6, which is sense restraint. Then when you have sense restraint, you are incapable of evil. That's how you can develop the step 7. You can arise the three way of right conduct. Your speech, action, and thought process will always be in accordance with the Dhamma. Right thought, right speech, right action will be automatic. So once you can have this, you would have become enlightened, at least first stage of sainthood or second stage of sainthood, Sakadagami, or at least Sotapanaship. Then after that, you can move on to step 8, which is the cultivation of the four foundation of mindfulness. This one will give rise to the third turning wisdom, Bhavanamaya Panya, which is very penetrative. Because by then your silent mind is very established. Sati sampajana is very stable. That's why you can see things as they are, insight into phenomena, awaken. And the four foundations of mindfulness will be very clear to you. You can cultivate them very easily. That's why during this time, the seven factors of enlightenment keep on arising. And when you can see them, that is step nine. Seven factors of enlightenment. These are the factors of enlightenment that brings about enlightenment. So when you are able to reach step nine, you are destined for enlightenment. Enlightenment in the here and the now. Well, when the factors of enlightenment arise, you know you are on the right path. You have not deviated. Otherwise, the factors of enlightenment will not arise. So the seven factors of enlightenment are all there. And these are the mind state that you have already cultivated. First one is sati, mindfulness. Then dhamma vichaya, dhamma investigation. When you have sati, you can do dhamma investigation. Then when it stand up to investigation, your faith become very strong. It will drive you to cultivate. There's a virya, the third enlightenment factor will surface. When virya is there, it will establish a very, very strong base for you to cultivate. And when you determine to cultivate, you will experience piti, leading to, of course, sukhang. Piti is the fourth enlightenment factor. Then as you continue to relax into that sukhang, even the blissfulness of mind, it will cease to be. Then your mind become very quiet. Then you experience the fifth enlightenment factor, which is paucity, tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind, which is just aware, nothing else inside there. That mind is still, tranquil, aware. Then as you stabilize that, it becomes samadhi. Samadhi is the sixth enlightenment factor. With sati and samadhi, you can see things as they are, awakened to truth, and develop the wisdom, the understanding. This wisdom and understanding will give rise to the last enlightenment factor, which is upekkha. Upekkha is equanimous mind, equanimity of mind, born of wisdom. So these seven factors of enlightenment, they will arise, they will surface. So this is how the whole cultivation can be understood. Okay, with that, maybe we will open up for meditation reporting. If you got any meditation experience that you want to report, and you can ask any question after that. Regarding meditation or the teaching. The mic is here. You just have to raise your hand. Then pass to Sister Tammy.
Good evening, Brother Teo and all Kalamitas.
Yeah.
I will need Brother Teo to advise.
Okay.
Just now when during the sitting, I don't know how to say. It's like It's like what I just tell what I feel. I feel very uneasy, and I feel like I don't have like. A direction, you know, like that's not what you say. So, like I used to use back the memory to do, if I'm in this situation, what I should do. Then just now I found that I am uneasy. Then I noticed that the thought is the sankhara is
still
coming
active
out,
at the back.
But I try to be present.
Don't try to rest, just let it be. Accept it as something natural, because when the spiritual faculty are not stable, especially the wisdom or the understanding, this type of sankhara activity will occur. Just let it be. Let it be means accept it. Like, don't try to shoo it away or want to get rid of it, and then it become a hindrance. Yeah. Then don't try to use that word just now you use. What was the word you used?
Try to be present.
Try to be in the present. Cannot, because that is what the thought tell you. And the thought that is trying to be in the present is an active thinking. And it will not bring about the silence within the moment. The silence within the moment can only be realized when you don't hold on to anything. The mind must not have any dwelling. You understand? When it dwell means it is holding on to something. Like you say, you try to be in the present moment. That is dwelling. Dwelling on the thought that wants to be in the present moment. Then what does the thought do? The thought wants to know, am I in the present moment? Understand? Then it will create the activity of sankhara at the back again, like what you have gone through. Then you say, like another thought telling you, hey, maybe this is not what Brother Teo meant, or maybe this is not silent. I'm not in the moment. There is still thinking. So you keep on creating this type of background thinking or sankhara, the thought will be active. So what you must do is accept it. Understand? Sankhara arise, so what? Because my stability of mindfulness or stability of the spiritual faculty not really established yet. So I accept that reality. The big difference is the moment you accept, there is no mental hindrance. Then that sankhara will cease to have power over you. That sankhara has power over you only when you try to do something about it. It's just like somebody come and like challenge you or say certain thing about you, then provoke you. What do you do? If you respond, there will be more of this fighting. But if you don't respond, let him do what he like, he will finally give up. You understand? Because there is, you need two fingers to clap. You need some response for the activity to continue. If you just accept the reality that sankhara is there, that it arises, then there is no response. Then that is wisdom. That is understanding. When I understand, I know this is natural. Condition like that, things will be like that. So what are the conditions for sankhara to arise? When you lack mindfulness, when you lack spiritual faculty, it will arise. When there is mindfulness born of wisdom, when the spiritual faculty are stable, that sankhara activity will not be there. So with that understanding, I can accept. And when I accept, I'm at peace. Because I didn't want to do anything. The mind doesn't dwell, the mind doesn't create, the mind doesn't need to do anything. That's why after that, you just maintain aware. So the four support up here, you can see. The first support is always relax into every mind state that arises. Just like what you experience, you feel uneasy, the lack of confidence when you start, because there is something telling you. You relax into it. You don't have to do anything. Then when the thought arises, forget about the thought. You just maintain aware. Means let the sankhara arise. Let the thought arise. Even pain, sloth and torpor, the same. Do not resist, suppress, or try to remove it or do away with it. Because this is all resistant from the mind. The mind is trying to do away. And there is a negative mental state there, which is aversion, dislike, which is a mental hindrance. So when you just relax and aware, you don't do anything, everything will fall back into the original state of silence before your mind stir. Yeah, that is your true mind. Before the thinking come in, before the thought come in, there was no thought. Like a baby, originally you are just aware, peaceful. There is no word, nothing. But as you grew up, you accumulated all this conditioning, memory. Then you start to develop the brain, the memory, the knowledge that you have been conditioned to receive. So through there, you create thought. Thought is respond to this memory. That's why thought continuously arise. Then you develop what they call the hindrance, because you lack the spiritual faculty. That's the reason why most human beings or living beings, they are heedless. They think a lot because they use the thought rampantly without understanding, without their ability to develop the clear understanding through spiritual faculty, which they lack. So if you cannot relax, you cannot be aware. If you cannot be aware, your mind cannot settle down. So the third support is to be aware for as long as you can. That's why I put there, if possible, 24 hours. Then, of course, finally is trust. These are the four support for awareness-based meditation. Trust is the last one. When your mindfulness has become very stable, daily mindfulness, everything very stable, then you can silence everything and stay at the heart. Then it will detect the mind base or the gateway to your nature. When it detects the one, you don't do anything. Don't arise the thought, nothing. Just allow the nature to do the meditation. Means you trust your nature. No more interference from the thought. No more the thought trying to do this and do that. By then, you would have developed a lot of understanding. So this trust, the last support, is towards the end. When you are going the bodhisattva way, only you do. Otherwise, you no need to do this part. You just relax, aware, and develop the understanding, the initial wisdom. Then you, of course, need to reflect, contemplate, inquire, then cultivate noble eightfold path. That's what you need to do initially. Okay? Then you continue. So now you know. You don't use those words like what you have been conditioned into using. The thought will tell you, try to be in the present moment. That one is still a thought. Just accept the reality. Sankhara arise, so on, let it arise. Then there is no resistance. The mind doesn't need to do anything. Then you are at peace. Okay? You continue, after that, tell me.
Actually, the whole sitting was having this and continue, because I do not know what.
You don't know what to do.
Yeah. So I just.
You just let the thing go on.
With the feelings. And then,
that's why you find that this is stressful. Your lack of understanding. Understand? So meditation will become very stressful when you don't have the understanding of what you are doing. That's why I always emphasize meditation must be done with understanding. And understanding can come very easily when you have listened attentively. So when you listen, listen with understanding. Don't listen to get the knowledge. No use. Thinking you know that is knowledge. Listen and develop the understanding means, oh, no wonder Brother Teo say, relax and just aware. Aware means what? Don't think. Be with the moment in silent awareness to accept the reality of the moment. And then there is no more doubt. Then you just confidently relax, silent. Sankhara arise, let it be. Just like what I used to tell you. Whatever thought arise, let it arise. Don't resist. Resistance is always by the thought. Without the thought, there is no one to resist. Without the thought, there is no egoic mind to meditate, to do this and do that. That's why I say when you meditate, like you are dead. Dead means what? You cannot do anything, cannot respond. Everything just happened. Then you are like the silent observer inside. You can maintain that silence, you are meditating actually. So when I sleep also same, in the early day I just relax and aware. Whatever happened within the form of my mind, I let it happen. I maintain awareness until I go into the deep sleep. Then initially, after I am quite good in it, later on I realize the body can sleep, my awareness go in. That's why I am still aware of the semi-conscious, subconscious, and the unconscious moment. The awareness still there to follow the body. Then this awareness is different from the thinking mind. Then during that time, I still remember when the mind is about to fall into the sleep, at the moment it's about to snore, one sound, you become aware again. Initially, you have to develop that. Because otherwise, you will go into the unconscious. So normal people, the moment they snore, they cannot hear their own snoring because they are not aware. So they will go into the unconscious. That's how the mind actually make you unconscious. When it make you unconscious, you don't think, you don't arise the thought to come and oppose. So the medical field, the doctors, they are trained and they know. So when you are sick, what they give you? What do they give you? Antibiotic. Antibiotic, one mode of antibiotic is to knock you off. You realize or not? The moment you take, you become very sleepy. So when you become very sleepy, you cannot resist. Means what? Your nature is healing you. That's why it knocked you off first. Then only they realize that antibiotic can function. Actually, it's your nature healing you most of the time. Well, when you don't resist, means you let the body, the body has its natural mechanism to actually heal you, provided you don't have the wrong thought that keep on creating negativity or resist that nature from healing you. That's why when you can just relax, silent, it's like you recuperate. You become a lot more healthier. We are through that, the body actually recovered. So this understanding is very important. When you don't resist, your body actually function very well. Function very well. So this will bring forth the understanding for you to meditate with the correct understanding. That's why later on, after I came to know this, then initially, the moment is not aware again. The moment is not aware again. Then after a while, I realized that even the body snoring, the awareness go in already. It went in already, that nature. Then it don't have to like develop that clear awareness again and maintain awareness. No need. That nature went in. Then the body can rest, the snoring can go on, the subconscious release, the unconscious release, everything that mundane mind is doing inside there, it can be aware of. That's why I saw my subconscious release and how it become like dream like that. Then how that phobia and all those things, the unconscious, they get released through your brain, your memory. Yeah, these are the trapped emotion, phobia and all those things. So all this, if you don't have the ability to relax and allow it to come out, you will have problem. That's why Krishnamurti call it disorder. When you are not living your proper life, you have disorder in life. Disorder, as we used to use that word for society. When there is riot, when there is disorder, what happened? There is a lot of conflict in there, a lot of war and all those things going on. That's why they say your country is in disorder. There is no order. So when your brain is in disorder, means a lot of things inside there is giving you problem, giving you, it's like riot all over, problem all over. So in order to maintain order, you need to release all this. So when you are asleep, that is the best time for the body to recuperate. Yeah, your nature will heal you. It will create order back. So it will release all this fear, phobia, subconscious release, insecurity, release. Otherwise, you become cuckoo. And you will go into depression. That's why sleeping, resting is a good way of recuperating your health. It will allow your organ to have enough rest. It will allow your nature to heal you. It's a natural healing process. That's why you must have enough rest, enough sleep to allow your system to heal. Then there will be order. When there is order means there is more balance, more peace within. That's why when you wake up, you feel very fresh. You feel rejuvenated. Then everything is like start all over again. But if you are not a Dhamma practitioner and you don't know how to maintain daily mindfulness, awareness and use the Dhamma to live a balanced life of order, an orderly life, where you are most of the time heedful, aware, mindful, without problem, you will have all those karmic negativity arising. Then you create this order again. That's why human beings got so much problem, isn't that? In the midst of life, in their daily life, they lack Dhamma understanding. They can't be heedful. So they live a life of disorder, heedless living. So heedlessness, like the Buddha says, is the path to the dead. The heedless are as if dead. And they are seldom mindful, seldom aware, seldom heedful. That's why they cannot have the ability to be heedful in the midst of life. And the heedless are as if dead, very clear. So this understanding will allow you to reverse your cultivation. You maintain mindfulness, heedfulness through the training. First is develop the spiritual faculty. If the spiritual faculty is still weak, strengthen it. That's why our puja, our aspiration, everything is to help us strengthen. Then develop the first and second turning wisdom. The first and second turning wisdom is very important. When you have developed the initial wisdom, your mind can settle down. It can be more mindful, more clarity, more heedful. That's how the step four come to be. Yoniso Manasikara. So regarding your reporting now with this new understanding, the next time when you go through all this, you will have to learn how to do it. Otherwise you realize the stress is always there. Can you continue?
I continue. Actually is the stress happen, the stress happens because I was fearful that I will go into the sankhara. It's like, I know if I enjoy a bit,
correct,
gone.
Correct. it's because of the fear behind. So now you know, that fear is a thought. Because that one is a thought that project and tell you. You learn how to let it be. Understand? Let it be means, so what? As long as the mind doesn't have the understanding, these are habitual tendencies, it will come out. Let it come out. You have to see a lot of these habitual tendencies. They keep on coming out. Initially, when your initial wisdom arises, you understand already. But because you haven't contemplated deep enough, stable enough, then you realize the next time you see the same sense experience, the habitual tendencies start again. The stirring and the reaction, it start. But the moment it start, you aware already. Then you know this is wrong. Then slowly, slowly, you have the ability to actually abandon it. That is the second right effort. First right effort is you saw it. Means the wrong thought arise already. Then you use the five way, the meditative way, to help you overcome them. Especially the third way and the fourth way to develop the wisdom. Then when you can have the understanding already, the next time you aware, you realize that wisdom born of the first and second turning wisdom is so powerful, straight away it understands and it cannot stir and it cannot arise. That is what the Buddha meant by right effort to prevent the arising of wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action. You cannot do that until Yoniso Manasikara is there, the initial wisdom. So now you have trace, it's the fear. So what must you do? Let it be. Understand or not? Fear arise. Why? Because I don't have the understanding, that's why fear arise. But fear is not going to cause me any harm. Because fear is not intrinsic in me. Fear is not me. Fear is dependent originating. When I lack wisdom, there is fear. Avijja, vijja sankhara, create fear. So fear is a movement of thought. It arises, it passes away. I let it be. If I let it be, I don't resist, I don't have any mental hindrance, then I can go back to normal. Then I continue to meditate with a silent mind. If you continue to meditate with a silent mind, this awareness will become more and more stable, more and more stable. Then later on, whatever that arises, this mundane mind cannot stir, cannot react, cannot do all those things like before. Because you have trained with awareness within to accept the reality of the moment, to be with the moment, to be aware. You only relax, aware, maintain awareness. The moment you maintain awareness, you will understand that all this sankhara, you are aware. When you are aware, after you come out of the meditation, like what you reported and relate, you will start to understand. Oh, no wonder I have all this. Then just now you ask me those questions, it's the same. These are your conditioning. These are your past life type of karmic thing. So it will come back and haunt you. And it will come back and create condition for you to have this type of view, this type of opinion, and you will continue to behave this way. This is what we call karmic obstruction. So you need to sometimes develop the asking for forgiveness or repentance. You follow the Bodhisattva vow. They are all there, very powerful. Then it will slowly, slowly bring about the condition for them to be mitigated. Then finally, when it is no more there, then you will have the ability to straighten your view, to develop the right understanding. Then your mind will be able to go through that test. Then it will have the new understanding to meditate. Then when you have that understanding, this life, you have the condition, you vow life after life to have all this understanding. Then when you come in future, you don't have to go through all this anymore. No more. Your cultivation become very, very direct, very straightforward. And you will not deviate, you will not fall. That's why the Bodhisattva vow are very important. Very important. All the necessary precaution that is needed is all incorporated. Okay? Then after that, what happened? When the fear hit you?
Then I was playing it. Then suddenly I heard someone snore. Then I thought that I'm relaxed, but I thought was relaxed. So I'm like, oh, I didn't notice that. Oh, that means I was in this, not relaxed.
When you are lost in thought, you are not aware of the snoring. But suddenly when you are aware, then you realize just now you were distracted by the thinking. So always remember, when you are heedless, you are lost in thought, preoccupied with what you are doing, the thought is telling you. So that is what heedlessness is all about. The moment you are lost in thought, you are not with the moment, you are not aware anymore. Like I used to explain, our mind can only do one thing at a time. Maybe this one I write it out so that you understand. our mind can only do one thing at a time. So this statement is very important. When you understand this, you will know how to meditate. So the mind testing. Ah, okay. The mind is either aware or lost in thought. So these two words is very important. It's either aware or it's lost in thought. When it's aware means what? You are with the true mind. So this one is with the true mind. That's why the true mind is just aware, silent. But when you are lost in thought, this is the mundane mind. Mundane or thinking mind. This is the one that make you heedless. So this mundane mind or the thinking mind will make you heedless. Yeah, this one will draw you away. And when you are preoccupied with the thinking, you are lost in thought. That's why you are not aware anymore. So this statement, for people who doesn't understand, they will use their thought to counter you. Last time I got one new guy who came. He doesn't agree the first statement. Our mind can only do one thing at a time, because he thought he very smart. He said, I can multitask. I can do a lot of things simultaneously. Logical or not? Very logical. Yeah. Yeah. So I asked him a very simple question. Okay, you tell me how you do the multitask. Yeah. He said, I can listen, I can follow, I can do a lot of things. Okay? So I say, you also can think. Understand? He said, yeah. I say, you are not listening. Because the moment you are not listening means what? You are using your brain, your memory to listen. That's why you are not listening. You are comparing what has been spoken with the brain activity. The moment you are with your brain activity, you are not aware of what he is trying to say. You understand? You only hold on to the earlier part of the speech, then you check. As you check with your brain, you think you can multitask, but you are not listening to him anymore. Why? If you are listening, means the brain is shut down. The brain does not comment. But that brain is the commentator, understand now? Trying to compare, right or wrong. And it has a lot of views and opinion because it is so conditioned. So when you are listening from the conditioned mind, you're not listening at all. That's why I say you can only do one thing at a time. When you are listen attentively. Don't allow all this background sankhara or activity or knowledge to come in and distract you. So you listen. Then when you listen, you will know whether there is truth or whether there is no truth. Whether the person who speak have the understanding or not. Because if it's the truth, it will stand up to investigation and straight away you will be aware. So in meditation it's the same. In the daily life it's the same. You have to maintain awareness. That's why if you are not relaxed and you cannot maintain awareness, most of the time you are lost in thought. We are human beings think a lot. You know why they think a lot? Yeah? What is the first two link of Paticca-samuppada? Yeah? The first two link is what? Avijja, Paccaya, Sankara. This one 1C or 2C? 1. Never mind. Go and check it out. And what is Avijja? Ah, ignorant. So the Buddha say, dependent on ignorant, you think. So this ignorant is very powerful. Dependent on ignorant, it condition thinking, mental activity. That's how you get yourself distracted, lost in thought. So this mental activity is your thinking. That's how your mundane mind arises. So the moment you start to think and get lost in thought is because you don't have right view. You don't have right understanding. You have self-delusion. You are ignorant. Ignorant of the truth. Because you cannot understand life. You cannot understand the reality of the moment. That's why you want to comment, you want to react, and you want to do something about it. So avijja, paccaya, sankara keep on arising. And this is how human beings become heedless. This is how you think a lot. Before you are enlightened, avijja is very powerful. Avijja is number one. Ignorance is very powerful. So this ignorance means you lack wisdom, you lack right view, you lack understanding. And when you cannot understand, what do? You think. That's why you keep on thinking. And this one becomes habitual tendency. That's why throughout the day, human beings think a lot. Not until your avijja get weakened. So once the avijja gets attenuated or weakened, once you are able to weaken this, what happens? Huh? When you can weaken avijja, means you have right view, understand or not? Right understanding, means yoniso manasikara is there. Wisdom at the moment of sense experience is there. When avijja get weakened, sankara also get weakened. You understand? That's how your mind become more quiet. So this one also gets weakened. So you think less. There is less mental activity. That's why the one that is mindful, aware, heedful cannot think. And when there is wisdom or wise attention at the moment of sense experience, when the initial wisdom is there, this one, avijja, becomes weakened. That's why it will condition less mental activity, less sankara, less thinking. That's how you become more mindful, more aware. not until your avijja become more or less weakened until hardly any. You're off that one, huh? Maybe that one is the distortion. Not until your avijja can be weakened until it's like more or less very weak. Means you already have very little avijja left. Means at least the first and second stage of sainthood. After you have realized the second stage of sainthood, the first five fetters, you can deal with them. The first three, of course, at the stage of sotapanachi, first stage of sainthood, you already root them out. So these first three are very powerful fetters. First one is sakkayaditti, self-delusion. The personality, the egoic mind. You believe this form and mind is you. You believe this human being is you. And that one is very powerful. That one, you have to root it out through the Dhamma investigation, through meditation, through understanding the essential Dhamma that the Buddha has taught us. especially the three universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering and anatta, or non-self nature, or empty nature, or existence. When you have this ability, then you can root out Sakkaya Ditti, self-delusion. Then when Sakkaya Ditti is gone, the other two factors also will be gone. The second factor is the wrong view with regards to rites and ritual, no more. So when people after that try to like panic you and say, hey, you don't do this, when you die, you become miserable. Oh, you will become what? You straight away understand that these people don't understand. Because you will know, no one die, nothing die. Because this is non-self, anatta. The self-delusion is no more. This one form and mind go the way of nature. No one die, no one sick, no one old, or just the consciousness separate from the form. Then he talk about your soul become what and what. You straight away will know that guy doesn't understand. Of course, there is such thing as the spirit world, the random of consciousness coming up. But those things are different. But you straight away know that these are not your true nature. It's nothing to do with you. These are the random of consciousness, the form and mind that separate. And it has nothing to do with you. These are dependent originating, condition arising state. So there is no more right and ritual, like simply believe thing, develop all the wrong view, to believe and do all those unrelated things. The third one is your faith in the Buddha, Dharma and the Sangha is very stable, unshakable. That's why as a Sotapan, you already can sever these first three factors and you have become very different. Then at the stage of Sakadagami, second stage of sainthood, you already weaken the next two factors, fourth and five. The fourth factor is sensual desire. Fifth one is ill will. You can actually accentuate sensual desire, ill will. Means it has become very, very weak. So your sensual desire and ill will is accentuated, weakened. Means you can have some form of sense restraint already. You cannot be drawn like last time. So by then, you are different. You are not affected by the senses anymore because your sense restraint is there. Sensual desire and ill will has been accentuated to such a great extent. But the moment you hit anagami, when you go for the four foundation of mindfulness training, the moment you awaken, you are at least an anagami. Anagami means the fourth and fifth factor, sensual desire, you will root it out, completely root it out. But there are still five more factors that they have to break before ignorance can completely go. So what I try to explain to you is this avijja, initially you can only weaken it. You understand? There are 10 factors. So when you are sotapanna shape, you weaken three, you root them out. Then Sakadagami, you weaken five. But you have not rooted out the fourth and the fifth, sensual desire and ill will. Anagami would have rooted out all five. Then you still have the five minor factors. So these five minor factors, first one is attachment to form jhana. The sixth one. The seventh one is attachment to formless jhana. Then number eight is they call mana. Mana is they call minor conceit. There is still a minor conceit inside that. You still believe that, oh, I am different really. Either you are sotapan, sakadagami, or anagami. Then they think, oh, these people still put to jhana. So there is still a sense of minor conceit, understand not? That thing is still inside their form and mind. Then when they go to the nine factors, their mind, which used to have restlessness for no reason, it will still have that. Even Anagami has restlessness of mind. Do you know that? Yet they have not rooted out completely avijja, but seldom. It only happened under extreme case or when it try to test them. It will come. So restlessness of mind is the 9 fetters. Then the last one is avijja, the balance of ignorance. So the moment you hit arahantship, there is no more birth and death. Means there is no more avijja. All the 5 fetters, they completely cease. All the 10 fetters cease. That's why when you are an arahant, this become pure aggregates. The 5 aggregates of form and mind become pure aggregate. And there is no more avijja. No more avijja means technically no more sankhara. But their aggregates are still there. The 5 aggregates, they are now non-grasping, pure. So because of that, they still have sankhara. But this sankhara is not born of avijja. You understand? Their sankhara is born of vijja. Means non-delusion, no ignorance. That's why their 5 aggregate become non-grasping. That's why in the sutta is mentioned, the 5 grasping aggregate is the cause of suffering. The moment you become enlightened, this aggregate become non-grasping, where there is no more avijja, no more ignorance to cause the grasping, the clinging, the holding. That's why there is no more suffering. So when you understand this, you will know how to cultivate. Okay? So this is to explain to you how you can weaken sankhara so that you can have more moment of mindfulness and awareness. And to weaken this, you need yoniso manasikara. So you need yoniso manasikara. Means the initial wisdom. So this one is very useful. To weaken. To weaken avijja, you need yoniso manasikara. Okay. You need this to weaken avijja. Then later on when you do the 4 foundation of mindfulness, it is so penetrative, the wisdom is so penetrative, it can awaken and completely root out avijja. That's why 4 foundation of mindfulness, the moment you go to that cultivation, you would have the ability to transform and root out completely avijja. Because those who cultivate 4 foundation of mindfulness, the Buddha said, you will realize at least anagami. And anagami means non-returner. You don't return to the sensual realm for rebirth anymore. You will finish off at the pure abode. They call it the Brahma realm. One of the few rhyme where anagami take birth. They call it the pure abode. You will take rebirth then. They live very long. Then from there, they realize arahantship. So this is how it can happen. And these are all in the teaching. I heard the alarm just now. So I think we better end. Okay. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So this part is just for your understanding. When you cultivate, hopefully, through the sharing by Tammy, you can develop the understanding to counter all those thought coming back through the back door to come and haunt you. So always remember, meditate with understanding. When you understand, you know how to meditate. Actually, meditation is very simple when you understand. Just relax, aware. Let everything sort out by itself and settle down. When you don't react, you can see things very clearly. But when you react, you get into trouble. Because your sankhara are very active. And what makes you react? Avijja. That's why before you become enlightened, you will do all those things. And to weaken avijja is very important. That's why you must keep on listening to the Dhamma. First and second turning to weaken it. Then keep on straightening your view. That is the beginning. Then after that, your sense restraint will come. Your daily mindfulness will come. All this will come. Otherwise, you can't. So second step, listening to the Dhamma, straightening your view, cultivating the initial wisdom is very important. That's why my teacher told me, you choose contemplate until very, very clear. No less than 7 times he reminded me, you know. No, every time when I alone with him, he tell me that. Then later on, after 1989, after I have understood the Dhamma, then I realized that was what I have been doing. I just keep on reflect, contemplate the Dhamma, and I understand things very fast. And that Dhamma keep on unfolding. Then later on in the year 2004, I remember, Yun Chan asked me to come out and share the Dhamma. That's why this year is the 15th year anniversary. So when Yun Chan asked me to come out and share, initially I rejected her 3 times. You go to the website, you will know. Then later on, Insight told me, hey, is the time ready? Now is the time, it's ready. You have to come out and share. Then I had that, what they call compassion. I don't want to like unnecessarily create negative karmic conditioning for the people who doesn't understand what my nature is. So in order to protect them, my nature told me, you set the condition. That's why I set the 3 conditions before I came out. I said, okay, I will agree to come out provided you agree to the 3 conditions. And the 3 conditions is in our website, brotherteo.com. You go in, you can read them. They are very beautiful. That's why I say, there is no authority, first condition. Second condition, no right, no wrong. Dhamma discussion, not a one-way traffic. No right, no wrong means I respect you for what you are, you respect me for what I am. Yeah. Then we discuss Dhamma, we share Dhamma. Then we make use of whatever that is useful to progress. And that is beneficial to all, isn't it? So that's why I set that 3 conditions. Then I came out to share. After I came out to share, initially it was on general topic. I remember 2004, the great tsunami, you remember? That hit the whole of Asia from Indonesia start. Aceh, that part. Then later on, they find the discussion topic so interesting. Somebody suggested, why not we discuss Dhamma? Oh, okay, Dhamma. So Yun Chan asked me, Brother Teo, what topic you want to share first? Then I look at the wall there. Last time, that center got this photo, the 5 ascetics with the Buddha. I say we start with this. The Buddha start with Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, the first sermon. Oh, okay, he say. Then I ask her, do you have any English book on this sutta, English translation? Oh, he say, I get you one. He gave me the Thai chanting book with the English translation. That's how when I read that Thai chanting book, a lot of the English translation are not really that correct, but at least some of the words I can figure out from there. So when I saw the three turning, straight away I understood what the three turnings are. But especially the second turning. He talked about reflection, contemplation, and inquiry. Then I realized that was what I had been doing all this time. But the sutta never relate the three turning to the three type of wisdom that the Buddha spoke on. First turning, listening, lead to suttamaya panya wisdom. It's not in the sutta. Then second turning, reflection, contemplation, lead to cintamaya panya wisdom. It's also not in the sutta. Then of course the third turning, bhavanamaya panya, which is the penetrative wisdom born of the third turning. It's also not stated in the sutta. So when I saw all this, I link it back to the three. That's how I came to know the second turning is very powerful. Well, that was what my teacher taught me. And I didn't know it was in the teaching. But I had been doing that on my own until after 1989. Then when I saw this in the year 2004, when Yun Chan asked me to come out to share, then I realized, no wonder human being cannot understand. Well, all this is in the sutta, but people cannot link them, cannot explain them. So that's how the sharing come about and all this teaching come about. And when I started with the three turning of the Four Noble Truths. And sad to say, Theravada never really emphasized on the three turning. The three turning is the most important teaching. The Buddha himself said, he himself as a Bodhisattva, he has to understand the three turning of the Four Noble Truths in its 12 modes. Clearly, before he can proclaim to be the fully enlightened one. So the Sammasambuddha also had to go through that. What more for the living beings? That's why this three turning of the Four Noble Truths is very important. And now you understand why. We are linked to the initial wisdom, the first two turning, Yoniso Manasikara. Okay, we better end. Sadhu. Sorry, I taken extra 15 minutes. Okay, we will do the sharing of merit, transfer of merit, then invoke blessing for the nation, then you make your aspiration. Akasata ca bumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa cirang rakantu lokasasana itawata ca amehi sampadan punya sampadan Sabbe deva anamodantu sappasampatti siddhiya idang menya tinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo Devo asatukalena sasa sampatihito ca fito bhavatu loko ca ja bhavatu dhammiko imina punya kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu Yawa nivana patiya sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Then we end, sadhu. Okay. Yeah. Today, I will be free for dinner. Huh? If you want to go for dinner, you let me know. There's a new place I can take you for noodle. The